Amen. Father God, we just praise you and glorify you. We thank you, Father, that you're filling us with your Holy Spirit. So much so, Lord, that we can hear you all the time. Lord, we just want to walk in you all the time. And we praise you, Father, that we can listen and hear you speak to us. And Lord, we thank you that the enemy has no chance around us. We praise you for that. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that leads and guides us and protects us and provides everything that we need. And I praise and thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that everybody's going to have a good communication tonight with their internet. And we praise you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're going to accomplish tonight as well. And we praise you and glorify you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're going to accomplish tonight in us. Because you're in us and we are in you. And because of that, Lord, we are guided by your Spirit. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for all that you're going to do. Lord, we thank you for this open heaven, too. That when we pray, we know that our prayers are going to be answered. And I praise you and thank you for it, Lord. Amen and amen. Okay, I got one prayer request. I want y'all to believe with me. Lord, I thank you that you have already healed the broken back of Jeanette, my wife. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, that there is no more pain, that it's gone. We prayed the prayer of faith. And I thank you and I praise you for it, Father, that she is healed, delivered, and set free. And I praise you, Lord, that she's fixing to go home, too. And I thank you. I'm talking about her physical home. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Thank you, Father, that you are working in her. And Lord, I thank you for working in Michelle, too, spiritually speaking. And I praise you for that, Father. She is getting faith, and she's realizing what it is to get faith. And we thank you for that, Father. Glory be to God. Okay. Anyone else? Yeah, Missy.
I just did a video call earlier with Kurt and the kids and Brooke. And I believe last week we prayed for, or maybe it was in the morning meeting, I don't know. But anyway, Maverick had been sick with the flu and they were off Monday last week and were hoping that Maverick would get to go to the daycare on Tuesday when they went back to work because it was President's Day last Monday. Anyway, well, he didn't get to go until Wednesday, but then Wednesday through Thursday, Blake didn't get to go because she was sick. We prayed that that nobody else in the house would get sick. Well, they're just going through a trial, and I pray Lord, you're getting their attention, Lord, and I ask you for your mercy and grace that Kurt would be good now. He's not feeling good, and I just speak health and healing to him, Lord, and your mercy that he would feel well to go to work tomorrow. And Lord, as you know, Brooke hasn't gotten sick, and I pray, Lord, really for your mercy that Brooke would not get sick. Lord, this has been a hard winter on them, Lord. I just send forth the angels to protect her and keep her. And Lord, and I thank you, Lord, I forbid her to get sick. And I just thank you, Lord, for health in this household, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for salvation in this household, Lord. And I praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anyone else? Lord, I thank you for saving all of our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren all the way down. And I praise you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, they're coming in. And I praise you, Lord, that it's going to be very quick, too. And I thank you, Lord, that when they come in, they're going to have great and bold faith. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Not only our kids and our grandkids and great-grandkids, Our siblings as well, my brothers and sisters are coming in. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right. Anyone else? How many of you know when you have a brother that has been killed many, many, many years ago, and if they come back resurrected, that everybody in the family is going to get saved? How many of you know that? Glory to God. That's going to happen. That's going to happen. Praise God. Because I got faith to believe that God's going to do that. Go ahead, Teresa.
I agree with that prayer. That was going to be my prayer for my grandchildren too. So I was able to talk with Terry at length today, and we had a wonderful chat. He was driving home from Lawrence to, you know, his, you know, where he's staying with his dad and his wife in Victoria, and you know, from Eastern Kansas to Western Kansas, and he was telling me that he was celebrating his anniversary. And I said, "Well, what anniversary?" He said, "I've been sober for 6 months." So,
praise God.
You know, you know, and he stated, you know, I was at the point where I was killing myself with that alcohol. And I said, "Well, Terry, God just took it out." He says, "I know." And so, but he is concerned. He said, "Mom, would you pray concerning Kylie?" Kylie is his daughter. She's 13 years old. And you know, so his kids are Kylie, Kaylin, and Charlie. And so the kids are still having, you know, he goes to Lawrence so he can spend a day or two with his kids, you know, at a hotel, and which he pays for. And then he goes back. And Dina is still up to shenanigans, and her lawyer is still up to shenanigans. Even way after the fact. And so, you know, she's still trying to foment, you know, false charges against him, because they're, you know, he's done all his programs, you know, successfully. He goes to a group that he likes going to, you know, he's done with the required time to go to that, but he just goes to it just because he likes to go to it. And, you know, so, you know, and he's working with his dad at odd jobs. And so he's waiting on what he prayed, what he asked for prayers for Kylie, because Dina is, she took Kylie to the doctor because she thought Kylie was too short. You know, like, what mom would do that? You know, you don't make your kid feel like there's something wrong with them. You know, you build them up. And, you know, you don't reject them because you think they're too short. And so he wanted protection over Kylie. He wanted Kylie, you know, because it hurt her heart, you know, because, you know, she's disappointed that, you know, she's short like me, but she's disappointed that she's not going to grow any taller. You know, the doctor verified that. And so, and see, this is how Satan has been attacking Terry, is emotionally through Dina. Well, she's now attacking her kids emotionally. You know, Satan is working through her, even against her own kids. And so, you know, I would like, you know, so we prayed, Terry and I prayed, and we agreed together, and he was like gung ho, you know, for it. And, you know, because we just prayed the word, we just prayed what God's word said. And, you know, about 1 Peter 2:24 and the armor of God, you know, and et cetera. You know, we went through all the armor, clothed, you know, everybody with it. And, you know, and then, you know, some other prayers as well. So, you know, you just prayed concerning our grandchildren. So can I add Kylie, Kaylin, and Charlie in with that prayer as well? You know, for protection for them, and that God would order their lives and make things right for them, because they've gone through trauma because of what their mom has, the shenanigans of what their mom's been doing.
Let's do this. I'm going to pray for Kylie. And
okay.
You and Terry need to believe with me, okay? Because I've seen this happen before.
Okay.
Lord, I just thank you for Kylie. Lord, she's her mama's beating her down because of her height. In the name of Jesus, right now, I command whatever stopping this growth hormone from working, I command it to start working right now. I thank you, Father, that you're going to add 6 more inches to her height in the name of Jesus. 6 more inches, not a half inch shorter, in Jesus' name. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, that it will shut up, Deanna, in Jesus' name. And I praise you and I thank you that she's going to be happy. Yes, we pass down every curse spoken against all of those children and against Terry too, and against Teresa as null and void right now in Jesus' name. Every time she opens up her mouth against those kids and against Terry or anybody else, as far as that goes, it goes straight to the ground as null and void in Jesus' name. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, for granting repentance to Deanna. And I praise you, Lord, for bringing her into the kingdom in a mighty way, Lord, because it looks like it'd be a mighty glorious thing for you, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to get the glory, because it ain't nothing we can do other than pray and believe. And I thank you, Father, that you've already done it to Kylie. She's going to start growing, and it's going to be an awesome testimony to your grace and your mercy upon her, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. How tall is she right now?
I'm not sure because I haven't been able to see her.
Okay. Well, whatever she is, she's fixing to gain 6 inches.
I agree.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Thank you,
I'm
Jesus.
going to stand on it. It's done. It's a done deal.
Amen. Tell Terry too. Tell Terry it's done. We prayed on the meeting, and we believe, and that girl is going to be tall. Thank you,
And I'm going to
Jesus.
send him the outreach too. So,
Amen.
here's the prayer.
Okay. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing in that whole family there. Even in Deanna too, Lord. We just ask and we pray, Lord. She just sounds like she's got a spirit of rejection. And I praise you, Father, that we break that power. And we thank you, Lord, that she also has a critical spirit. And we break that spirit off of her right now in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, for the gospel to get through to her. Lord, we ask that you send the Lord of harvest to her. The Lord of the harvest, somebody that she would listen to, that would give her the gospel in a way that she would understand and accept in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. We're going to see the fruits of that one also in Jesus' name. I believe, does anybody else believe what we just prayed for Deanna's family and Terry's family in Jesus' name? Thank you, Father. Glory be to God.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Ooh, I know that's going to happen. All right. Anyone else? You got any more, Teresa? You need
I've always got more.
to.
We've been, they've been the whoever it is, they've been chemtrailing the world. Well, they as soon as Trump was elected, I mean, they slathered the sky above us with chemtrails. And I've been binding those things, negating those things, nullifying those things, and telling them to stop in Jesus' name. And so, they were still chemtrailing today. And so, it's just, and I've been nullifying all the ingredients that's being dropped from them, that they can't poison us, they can't harm anything, and that they're just eradicated in Jesus' name. There's a
Amen.
kind of warfare that against powers that, that are trying to kill us with that stuff.
Amen. Amen. What we do, we send the angels up there to disable the planes themselves where they can't fly now another time.
Okay.
And they're going to put them in the boneyard, and they won't be, all they can do is just sit down and look at them. Thank you, Lord, for doing it. They'll get the picture one of these days. Okay. Praise God. All right, anybody else got a prayer
Can you
request?
repeat what you said that you send the angels to? What were the exact words that you used?
Disable the airplanes to where they cannot fly again.
Okay.
They can disable those airplanes to where They can't fix them again, and they put them in, they've got a big boneyard that they put those things in.
And safely destroy those chemicals.
Yeah, destroy
Amen.
those chemicals.
Yep, destroy them and neutralize them. Neutralize the ones that's been there.
Clean the air back up.
Yeah, clean the air back up.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Ground those planes. That's right, Sarah. I noticed, David and I noticed, was it today or yesterday? I think it was yesterday. No, it was today. That they were up there, a couple of them were up there shooting around. So we grounded them too. We had the angels go up there and ground them too. Okay, anyone else? Yeah, Joe.
Morning, everybody.
Howdy.
For a couple of, for quite a few months now, we haven't had any load shedding, but was the Lord's hand in it. Thank you very much, Lord. But now, the last couple of days, we had some load shedding again. I'm not sure what's happened. I just want to pray against that. Lord, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy, Lord. Whatever tried to hinder all the electricity now going off again, I bind them all up in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. And bind them up. Nothing going to be heard of. Power stations going to work properly now from now on. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Lord, I thank you for a change in government over there in South Africa. I praise you, Father, that they're going to get some people in there now that are humanitarians. And they're not racist, and we praise you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God.
Amen.
Amen. I believe it. I understand there's some work behind the scenes going on even as we speak. All right. Any other kind of news anybody got? I saw where Dan Bongino was deputy head of FBI. That's a great move. That's a good move. He knows where all the skeletons are. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All of this is going to take just a short while to do. Get rid of all this bunch of yahoos. Go ahead, Missy.
Supposedly, the FBI has been going in and trying to destroy files, destroying files and stuff.
Who has?
The FBI, the officials or whoever in there have been destroying files, you know, I guess so they don't find their criminality. And supposedly, that in a way that they can't be brought back up, but God.
How did you find out?
Julie sent something about that.
Okay, if Julie knew it, then don't you think that the president knows it too? I would think.
It was on X. It was on X. I sent it to both
Yeah.
of you.
So I think, yeah, I saw that a couple of days ago, I think, where they did that. But I would think that if it was on X, that Bongino and Cash Patel already knows about it, and they... And those people may not be getting nothing but bologna sandwiches for lunch now.
Right. Well, that may be why they hauled off a whole bunch of them down to
yeah,
Gitmo too.
It could be.
So,
it could
but
be.
Anyway, if Lord, if they were able to get really get rid of any files that aren't supposedly recoverable, we just command the angels to recover them, restore them in the name of Jesus. And we thank you and praise you, Lord.
Yep, if you have to go back in time to get them, that'd be fine. Thank you, Lord. Amen. He can do that. We've seen him do it. Amen. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff like that going on, isn't it? They're running scared. Which they should be. You see how quick NATO fell into line? How quick Russia and Ukraine's gonna, they're about to got that negotiated. Ukraine didn't have much to say about it. It was mostly Trump and Putin. All right, Benita. Hey, girl.
Hey,
oh,
Michael.
That's Nick. It says Benita.
Yeah, I know. I'm on her phone.
Okay. All right, Nick. How's it going?
I have a prayer request.
All right.
One of my co-workers, he's the owner of our store. He got in a 7-car pileup accident.
Ooh. Is he okay?
He broke his nose and had stitches all the way along here underneath.
Oh my.
He's recovering.
But he's recovering now, so he's
recovering. Is that because of the snow and the ice?
I don't know.
Probably. Okay.
Three times.
We heard that's fine.
But they're okay.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. 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 Well, you got to expect that up there in the tundra where y'all live, you understand?
Yeah. Yeah.
But do you have snow on the ground now, Nick?
No, it's starting to melt, actually. It got up to 50 today.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
I didn't think it ever got to 50 up there.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, praise God. Yeah, I was looking on the weather forecast this morning, and we're not going to see another day down in the 40s. It looks like through March up to April, according to the weather men.
Wow.
We'll see. It was 70 here, Nick. Eat your heart out, brother.
Wow.
Okay. Okay.
Nick, what is his name?
His name is Matt.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
All right, Lord, we lift up Matt to you. We thank you, Lord, for a quick recovery, and that he's not going to have any plastic surgery at all. Everything's going to be fine in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. It's all going to heal up real quick in the name of Jesus. Amen. And anybody else that was hurt in that wreck, Lord, we just ask for a quick recovery in Jesus' name. That the insurance company will take care of it all. All right. Who was it? Gosh, how you pronounce that?
Reagan.
Reagan. I knew that. Go ahead, Reagan.
So, you know, when I started UBM, I asked you guys to pray for my very long, drawn-out relationship back and forth, that we would stop the fornication and that we would get married. And I held on and I believed, but we broke up, you know, again. And I was trying to go no contact with him. And I was staying with my mom, and somebody from his work actually pursued me. And so now I'm very confused because I was praying for my husband, trying to hold on to that, but I was also praying for that boyfriend specifically that I had been with for so long. And it's just like now there's confusion coming in, like what if this other guy is good, but he doesn't seem, you get where I'm coming from. But I ultimately just want this to be over. I just want to be married. Because my living situation, my parents are like 60 years old, and the boyfriend that I was with for all that time, I was living with him. And so I had to stay with my mom, and it's a bad situation. We only have one bed. We have a teeny tiny kind of like apartment house thing. So I just need all the confusion to go away. And I need to meet the guy that I'm going to marry so I can build and do what I have to do and feel safe and secure, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does. What if we pray it like this, Reagan?
Okay.
Let me just pray what I feel like the Holy Spirit wants. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for Reagan and her wanting to get things straight with you, and I praise you for that, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that you're honoring that, and you have already forgiven her, and I praise you for that. Lord, I thank you for working out patience in her. And I thank you, Father, for working out patience, because patience is desired in a marriage. And I praise you for that, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to give her wisdom and discernment in a way that she's never had before. And I thank you for it, Father. Discernment to find out who it is that's going to be her husband that you have already picked out for her. And I know it's going to be someone that loves you, Lord. And I praise you for that. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to work in Reagan this wisdom and discernment, and she will know when the time comes who it is that you have picked for her. And I praise you and thank you for that, Father. Lord, I know that sometimes you like to, for all of us to be solid in you before we make a big decision like marriage and both sides. And I thank you, Father, that that's what you're doing right now. You're working it out in Reagan and her future husband in Jesus' name. And Lord, praise you and thank you that she's not going to get antsy about it. I know she's living in a situation that's kind of uncomfortable for her, but Lord, I thank you that she's going to just be comfortable wherever you are in her, Lord, and I'll thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Go ahead, Julie.
Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for our sister and her desire to want your will. And we bind up the spirits that are sending confusion into her midst, any kind of this other pursuer that is just adding to her confusion. We bind those spirits there. Lord, we ask that you would just bring separation to every relationship that's clouding her judgment, keeping her from seeking you first in your righteousness, your kingdom. And you know, your word says that if we make you our desire, you know, put you first, Lord, you will give us the desires of our heart. I pray, Lord, you'll give her the grace to be patient and long-suffering in her current situations. And Lord, I pray that you would open up an opportunity for her. If there's a friend or a family member, anybody nearby that can take her in, who has a spare room, even if it's temporarily for a few months, whatever, until, you know, this can clear up for her, Lord, that she would just be able to rest in you, trust her life, her future, to your hand, and your very best for her. And that she would be able to surrender this every day, and not be in a hurry, and just good things will happen. You work all things together for our good, to those who love you, and are chosen by you, Lord, according to your righteousness. It's your grace, and you work all things after the counsel of your will and for your good pleasure. But we just have to keep surrendering our life, our desires, and even what we think we need, because you know our needs better than we do. And it'll be worth it. It'll be worth it to wait for the right person, Lord, because sometimes we make mistakes when we think we know best for ourselves, and we do not. Because you see our whole features, Lord, and we just put pray blessings on Reagan. We pray blessings and salvation for this other people that's been in her life that she has been involved with, Lord. We pray for their souls, Lord. And, we thank you, Lord, for doing more than we can ask or think. Help her, Lord, not to be moved by her emotions, but just to rest in you and depend upon you. Lord Jesus, be her husband for her right now. And Father, you're her father right now, and that she seek you for all these things that she needs, because you have everything. You own everything, and you know every heart. You've fashioned every heart, Lord, and we want the best for her. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Lord, I thank you that every morning she'll wake up and ask you to fill her up with your Holy Spirit, and that Spirit would carry her through the day, even through these troubles, and it won't be like a trouble anymore. It'll only be you, Lord, in her life, and we praise you for that, Father. Glory be to God. The good joy, peace, and laughter that she has with you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I believe it. Y'all believe it? Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. I'd like to pray something, if that's okay.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Lord, just thank you for this opportunity for Reagan to just seek you with her whole heart, to run after you, the lover of her soul, Lord God, and not even have in mind anybody or anything else, Lord. I thank you that you're teaching all of us this, Lord. We could always learn more about just running after you and only you. So I thank you that you're working that in her too, Father, to put everything else down and just get to know you and to love you and know your love back upon her, Lord. We just thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Yeah, Pat, go ahead.
Actually, I was just thinking of when Reagan was talking, I was thinking of that scripture in Psalm 37:5. It says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. And then as I was looking up some other verses, Debbie's prayer matches exactly the previous verse in Psalm 37:4. It says, delight thyself. Sorry about that. Must have kicked something off. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give thee the desires of thy heart. Wow. So, Reagan, I would suggest dwelling on Psalm 37. The whole thing is good. Verse 3 says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight thyself also in the Lord. He will give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. Verse 6, and he will make thy righteousness go forth as the light, and thy justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not because of him that prospers in his way, because of the man who bringeth forth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself. It tends only to evil doing, etc. So I know that, I won't say anything else. Right. Lord, we just thank you for Reagan, her openness and her heart to seek out your ways and to seek you. For Lord, you are our deliverer from the foundation of the earth. You have chosen us from the foundation of the earth to be drawn and to follow those desires that you put in our heart that lead us directly to you. And thank you, Lord, for your grace to accept. Thank you for the willingness that you put in our heart just to reach out in hope and grab onto your word and just trust your word. And so, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are strengthening Reagan right now to just to commit to you her heart, her desires, and her way and give them over into your hand and trust you, Lord, for you have the ability to bring it to pass. And I thank you for it. So we, Lord, we come together, we bless Reagan and us, and just thank you for the rest and the peace that you're putting in her heart right now, that you are in charge. You know what you're doing. You know exactly how to put these pieces together. And Lord, I just bind any kind of spirit of a driving spirit or an agonizing spirit or an anxiety of any sort. I cast it down in the name of Jesus. I just speak peace into Reagan's heart in Jesus' mighty name. And thank you for it, Lord. Amen.
Praise God. All right. Anybody else got a prayer? They'd like to pray. Or testimony. Amen. We got the victory, don't we? Thank you, Jesus. I want to read a prophetic word out of let's see, what's progressive intimacy. My son, the delight and passion of my heart is in my bride. She will come forth unto me in holy splendor, beauty, and majesty as she beholds me as I am with an unveiled face. And she is changed from glory to glory into the very likeness of her passionate bridegroom and lover. Just one look from the fiery passion and beauty in my eyes, and my bride will be overcome by me and all that I am in her and to her. I will call her forth into the chambers of my heart and woo her into a place of holy, eternal ecstasy and passion with me, where I become the center and the foundation of all that she is and does. For too long, my church has tried to mimic me and to be like me through what she knows about me instead of knowing me. But my holy bride, she will know me, and she will hear my voice, and she will follow me, and she alone will be obedient and will go where I send her and will do what it is that I ask of her to do. Be not ashamed of me, my holy bride, but openly and publicly display your love and your affection for your bridegroom and your lover, that the world might see and know this great love that I have for my bride and the great love that she has for me. So turn away and separate yourself completely unto me, my bride. The lust, the fashion, the pride of life, the materialism, and greed is quickly fading away as society itself crumbles, falls, and decays deeper and deeper into ruin and destruction. My love and my peace alone will remain. And when the world and society has nowhere else to turn, they will look to you, my bride, as they see my love, blessing, and provision abounding in your lives, and you will point the world directly to me. And the world will cry out for my love and for my mercy, that they might also know me and the great peace that I bring unto them. So turn to the fields, my holy bride, and prepare yourself. For it is surely white unto harvest, and all things are culminating and being set into motion, that I might return and claim my holy bride. So preach my word and my gospel, my children. Let the boldness and the fire of the Holy One of Israel be upon you as you speak and prophesy my truth, glory to God. The world cannot resist my truth. Though much resistance and persecution shall come, be strong and of good courage, and know it is not you that speaks, but it is the very Spirit of your Father that speaks, as I confound the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the wisdom and splendor of man, who thinks in his pride that he can play God. Woe is man, woe is man for his foolish intellect, but the wisdom of the Holy Ghost will be upon my children, and the wisest of the world will recognize this as they turn their hearts to a holy Savior who can give unto them the true and eternal life that they need. So be strong, my bride. Come into an understanding of the fear of me and get to know Sister Wisdom, that she might teach you and train you. For I am surely preparing my bridal entrepreneurs to be entrusted with the wealth of the world, that my gospel might go forth into the ends of the earth, that I Jesus, might return in all of my splendor and majesty to claim my inheritance and the right that I have to be to my holy bride. Go forth in peace and in my love, and watch as my truth and my justice prevail. Selah. Well, amen and amen to that. Glory be to God. Yes, Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit in a way, Lord, that we've never been filled before, that the things that we hear from you, Lord, will be loud and clear. And we praise you for that, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is teaching us, giving us wisdom and discernment in these days to come. Good, bold wisdom. Good, bold discernment, Lord. And we praise you and we thank you for that. In Jesus' mighty name. We all need it, Father, in the days to come. And that boldness also is part of it. To speak what you want us to speak, and only what you want us to speak. Not out of our flesh, but out of our spirit. Out of the Spirit of God. And I praise you, Father, for that. In Jesus' mighty name. Glory be to God, Lord. We're going to see great and wonderful, mighty things happening here shortly. And we thank you, Father, for preparing our hearts to minister the things that you have us to minister in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Go ahead, Missy.
What was the date on that? Could you please give the date on that?
2/25/2025. 2/25. Let me look. Let me look. All right, just a minute. Let's see, Missy. I think it was 2/27/23, but just let me make sure. Well, it's not on that one. I believe that's what it was. If I remember correctly, and I believe I do, because I rarely make mistakes, I think it was 2/27/2023. No. 2005. Yeah.
2/27.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to make sure. Okay, well, I can't minimize right now. Find out for sure.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah. If you go in that area, you'll find it. It was close to the front. It was very close to the front. It was a day, I think it was 2/27 something. Up close to the front. Okay, anybody else? That was a good word. I enjoyed that. How many of you like to be encouraged like that? I do. I love it. I do. I love to be encouraged by the Lord. Get it on, boys. Get it on. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. We're going to talk just a little bit about what happens when we don't get our prayers answered. What are the reasons that we don't get our prayers answered? And the Word of God only gives two reasons. Anybody know what they are? Let me give it to you here. Matthew 17 and 19. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he's talking about when the man brought his son to the disciples and they couldn't get the boy delivered. What did Jesus tell them? He said, and Jesus said to them, "Because of your little faith." Because of your little faith. So you'll notice that the only reason and the only experiences we have in the Bible showing why someone failed to get results, Jesus accredited to unbelief. So we have unbelief. That's number one reason. And then number two is in Mark chapter 7 and verse 13. Making void the word of God by your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such like things you do. That's the traditions of men. So there's only two reasons that you'll see failure come out of. Now, unbelief should not be a part of our life anyway, should it? Because we're believers, right? Somebody shake your head, yeah. Okay. So if we're believers, unbelief should not even be there. All right, now having said that, that the Word says there's only two reasons why we don't get our prayers answered. It's because of traditions of men and doubt and unbelief. What if we're holding to our, like as a group here, for someone, and then nothing happens? Has anybody got any suggestions as to why that happens? Go ahead, Julie.
Personally, for myself, it's a trial of faith, being long suffering and patient, and a fight to overcome, you know, fleshy things, and you know, and just still trust God and still believe, even though it's not here yet. Right, it hasn't manifested, but I still believe. And for me, that's what a lot of things have been, is just being patient in my trials and waiting and letting God work that patience and long suffering and humility and, you know, things that part of His nature that, you know, don't necessarily, they don't come naturally, you know. We want things right now, and we don't always get them right now. So then you get impatient, and sometimes you might even get angry. You might get, you know, frustrated, and just like, oh, you know, God, what is it? You know, you know, and you start accusing God, and you're murmuring and complaining. Oh, wait a minute, didn't the Israelites do that? Oh, I got to get rid of that too. You know, there's just different things. There can be all kinds of reasons. You know, you have to. I guess everyone needs to go to the Lord and just make sure that, you know, you're. For me, it was like making sure my conscience was clean, and that, you know, that my heart doesn't condemn me. I know that I'm going to receive everything that I've asked of God, as I know it's the will of God for these things. So it's just a matter of trusting, waiting on the Lord. That's how I've been thinking about things and working out my salvation, you know, fear and trembling before the Lord, because it's like my heart doesn't condemn me. So what is it, Lord? You know, so
amen.
Patience.
Okay. Go ahead, Teresa.
I think also unforgiveness has something to do with it as well, because in Matthew 6, in the Lord's Prayer, you know, it says, it says, if you forgive men their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And also in 7, you know, when it says ask and it shall be given you, it says therefore, you know, and it goes on through there. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. So somewhere in there, we got to not be sinning too. You know, we got to be you know, doing what Jesus asked us to do. You know, but I also know that we got to pray in faith that Jesus would get us doing what he wants us to do. But we know that. But I think in my case, when I've tried to pray and I'm holding unforgiveness, it does not work out that well. So I got to get rid of that unforgiveness.
So if Jesus is our map, so to speak, you don't think that those people that he prayed for, when he said he healed them all numerous times, had unforgiveness, that weren't even saved, that weren't even born again?
Well, I know.
But they healed them.
I know when I was, I'm sorry. Well, I know when I've been praying and I'm trying to ask for things, if I'm holding unforgiveness, my prayers don't get any higher than me. So yeah. I have to get myself in order.
Well, that's true. That's true. And that's a good point. But what we're talking about is praying for other people.
That's what
praying
I'm saying.
For other people. When you pray for other people, you better be right with God. You're right. But you can't have faith with unforgiveness in your heart. You can't have faith if you've got condemnation in your heart. You can't have faith if you're not born again. Right?
Well, if you're disobedient and sinning, you know, it kind of interferes with your faith right there.
Yeah.
You know, so it just seems to me you've got to get yourself in order if you want to ask something from God.
That's a given.
You know, but I
that
understand
is a given.
You also have God to get you in order.
Okay, maybe I should restate my first statement. When we are praying for someone else, it is a given that you're born again, that you're clean from sin, right?
Okay, you're starting from there. Okay.
Okay. Every time that we pray for someone else, you have to be right with God. You have to peel away the flesh in order to get your prayers answered immediately with God, because the power of God builds up in you as you peel away the flesh, and the power of the Spirit comes forth at that time. And that's a given. I'm sorry I didn't qualify it, but I have a certain thing in my mind, and I just didn't put it out there. But when you pray for somebody, you're going to pray for somebody, you, in order to get your prayers answered, yeah, of course you have to be saved. Of course you don't have any unforgiveness. Of course you don't have any condemnation. Of course all those things are true. Okay. Any other thing that would hinder us as a fellowship right here from praying for someone that God did not answer. Let me put it that way. What it would be the reason? Yeah, Julie. What might be the reason?
Any kind of double-mindedness or doubt or unbelief in anybody's heart or thinking, or maybe praying something in a certain way that you don't agree with it, or you don't have knowledge of that. So right away, somebody, the devil's putting a thought in your head, like, well, that doesn't sound right. Where's that in the word? You know, he's always firing darts in your head. So maybe it's something like that. If you don't understand, you could do that. You don't know your authority, or you don't know, you know, there's something going on in your mind about maybe the person you're praying for, because you don't, you know, I don't know. There's just questions that might come up in someone's mind that might interfere with doubt or unbelief or double-mindedness or uncertainty about why we're praying for that, or you don't understand it. Or,
but if we're praying for somebody else that has asked us to pray for somebody else that they know, we don't have a clue as to what's around that person. We don't have a clue as to what's going on other than what we've been told. And the doubt and unbelief that doctors place in people's minds steals their faith, because they rely mostly on their flesh rather than the Spirit of God, the Word of God. The Word of God is truth, right? And it makes no difference if, and that's probably why it's wise to teach someone first when you're praying a special prayer to help someone in a situation where they're praying for a loved one that's in serious condition. Because the doctors are going to give the worst report. It makes no, I'm telling you, they always do. They always give the bad report. And if you believe that bad report, that's what you're going to get. And if you don't believe that bad report, then you're going to get what you, I saw a thing the other day, just yesterday, I believe it was. You remember that Japanese experiment where the water, they spoke negative things to the water and the water just went crazy. Yeah, it just went to sewer, more or less. But then they spoke loving things to this other water, and it was so great. It was so good. That's what I'm talking about. People confess the wrong things, too much so. When you confess the wrong thing, that's what you're going to get. Yeah, Andrew.
Yeah, I got that video. We've seen that about 3 times now.
Yeah.
And it's the flowers too, you know. They're saying negative things to even a strawberry.
Yeah.
The strawberry rots, and then the apple rots, and even the rice in the bucket rots, and the flowers. One of them rebloomed in new flowers and stuff because you spake wonderfully to it. Which goes to show sometimes when, because we're in this world so much, and the Lord does warn us, because of the love of many shall wax cold. But he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. So you still have to realize that these words are coming out of people all around you. And you shouldn't let that really disrupt you or disturb you. And even like if you do see things going to the store that are disruptive, you know, or hear things, even like someone being very angry, that can affect the person.
Yep.
You know, so.
Amen.
Like, we need to be encouraged a lot. I like to be encouraged.
Yeah, me too.
You know, like the apostle Paul had a really good encourager with him. But they actually fell out with each other and they went their separate ways, but they both continued being good apostles, you know. So and I think one of them, if I'm not correct, he went to Cyprus and almost converted the whole island. I mean, if you had little kids, you want to go live there or in Antioch, because that's where the largest population of Christians were. So, or with people that have the word around them, you know. So, anyway.
Amen. The reason I ask this is because I'll tell you something else that works, and that is, you remember the story that I told you about Curry and the guy that got shot over in Italy, and they asked him to come pray for him, and he did, and then he went back to wherever it was he was there in Italy, to his motel room, and he had some meetings that he had to attend there that he was having. And then one of the nephews of this guy that got shot came in one morning and told him, said, "Curry, my uncle's dead. He died." Curry said, "Okay." Then when he got time, he went back in there and told the Lord. He said, "Lord, if you don't bring him back to life, I'm quitting. I am stopping this ministry, and I'm going to tell everybody you're a liar." That's what he said. He was dogmatic in his belief system that God was going to raise that man up from that bed of affliction. And so he just went back out to the meeting, committed, and the next morning he had another meeting, and the nephew came back in there. He said, "Curry, Mr. Curry," he said, "my uncle, he lives. He came back to life. The Lord was smiling up in heaven because of his dogmatic refusal to give in to what the doctors had said, to give in what natural flesh understands. But he knew that the truth said, by his stripes he was healed. And he did not sway from it one iota. One iota. And the man came back to life." That, how many of you know we give up too easily? We give up way too easily. We have to be strong in our faith to endure, to see the truth unfold through that falsehood that we prayed for. And that's what I'm teaching my daughters right now, on my wife. You don't listen to those doctors. You just confess that she's healed every day. Lift her up. And boy, she looked good this morning. Glory to God. She did. But that's how we have to be in order to be a disciple of Christ. You cannot give in to what the devil wants to happen. We don't give in. We can't give in. That's just like when Curry, little daughter fell out of the second story window. He was in there praying, not praying, but "you shall live and not die in the name of Jesus. You shall live and not die." And his wife came in there after 30 or 40 minutes and said, "Curry, let her go, let her go, let her go." He said, "If you ain't got the faith to help me, get on out of here." So she left, and he just went on, and he stuck that baby his up against the wall and said, "You shall live and not die in the name of Jesus." She fell over. He lifted her up and slammed her up against the wall again and said, "You shall live and not die in the name of Jesus." He did that three times, and on the third time he said that, she went to coughing. And she's in a ministry with him today. I think she's probably about, oh gosh, she's probably about 30 now. She was, I knew her when she was about 20. But anyway, that's what our faith has to be like. We have to be dogmatic in it, not give up. If everybody around you gives up, get out of their way and go pray. Thank you, Lord. I thank you she's here. I thank you, Father. I confess that she's already here. In the name of Jesus. That's what God wants us to do. How many of you know God is glorified when you do that? He is. He's glorified. Go ahead, Ben. I'm sorry. I wasn't trying to.
No, it's all good. Just to add on to what Michael's saying, I'm sure everyone kind of remembers what was happening with my sister and brother-in-law not too long ago. And everyone was always confessing that they were going to separate and, you know, divorce. And, you know, I don't want to talk bad about anybody, but like even like the Christian people were saying that. I would just say, like, don't even speak the word. Don't even speak that word, because I know 100% they're going to go back together. It was a full faith thing. I knew that they were going to be back together. Like, I knew the sun was going to rise tomorrow. That's how I knew. It was just, it's not a feeling. It's just, you know what's going to happen.
Yep.
So there's no forcing your mind into thinking that way. It's just, you know it. Yep. And I know exactly what you're saying. It's awesome.
Yep. Amen. Well, it's just like the other day, we had the angel, her angel, my wife's angel, put her hand on her. Then here we are over here, put her hand on her, and we prayed the prayer of faith for her, and I know that her back's not broken anymore. And I told my daughter, I said, get her up out of that bed first chance you get, because she's healed, and it's gonna amaze the doctors. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Ben. That helps a lot, man.
Yeah. Also, just to like bring up something else, and stop me if I'm going somewhere where I shouldn't. But you were talking about this is a real long time ago. We were talking about our loved ones that have passed away that weren't believers. You said we could pray for them, and that they would end up being in heaven, like they'd go back in time or whatever. We were talking about the believers' timeline stuff. And it's a little beyond my mindset, I guess, but it's not that I don't understand. It's just, I was always thinking like, once you're gone, you're gone, you know, kind of thing.
Does God live in time?
No, he does not. So
if
there
God
go.
Doesn't live in time, then you can ask God to save him, because he has given us household salvation. And if he's given us household salvation, bless God, whoever you pray for. And we're not talking purgatory and anything like that. We're just knowing that it's a time thing. Mm. You don't know what God can do. We don't know what God can do. Everything that he does is a miracle, for goodness sake. I don't know if my dad was saved. I know now, because when that lady asked David, she said, "Can I believe for my dad who wasn't saved to be saved?" And he said, he thought a minute, he said, "Well, God doesn't dwell in time." So, yeah, I think you could do that.
Yeah. It literally says you can ask anything in my name.
Absolutely.
And so I'm just including that with.
Amen.
It's very a very broad thing that we can really just add anything onto. It's really amazing. He's so awesome.
I like what Curry says. He says this. He said the only hindrance is that you believe there is a hindrance.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Absolutely.
I've thrown that one out every once in a while to Karen.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. All right, Pat, go ahead. I could tell you some, just a minute, Pat. I could tell you some stuff that I know has already happened that you'd have trouble believing. It's been done. It's already been done. Praise God. So we can't put God in the box, can we, Pat?
No. I'm going to let Missy go first, if you don't mind.
Okay, go ahead, Missy.
I was just about ready to put mine in the chat, but anyway, what came to me is God answers before we call, and yet while we're still speaking, he hears.
Yeah.
So
amen.
That to me speaks to, you know, that God doesn't dwell in time.
No, he doesn't dwell in time. It's when I'm telling you, there's some things that are going on that just blows my mind. And I just sit back and I say, well, wait a minute. I've never heard of that before. How many of you know that there's a lot of things that we haven't heard of that God does? There's a lot of things that God does. If we only knew. So that's why I don't put him in a box anymore. There's some things that happened here. I ain't going to say anything about that, but I'm telling you. Whew. Yeah, that's right, Jenny. More than we can ask or think. And I can ask and think a lot, too, now that I know the door's open. Go ahead, Pat.
Well, I know that in a sense, what, you know, when, what was that first verse that you flipped out there, reason for not
Matthew 17:19.
Well, 17, Mark 7:13, it's making void the word of God by your tradition.
Yeah.
You know, and you might tend to think, well, tradition is, you know, like a tradition of Christmas or a tradition of, you know, that sort of thing, but you know, but what it is what you are believing or what you have accepted as truth, and it may not, and it does not align up with God's word. But you're believing it anyway. I mean, it probably goes more in the realm of unbelief, but or believing the wrong thing. And it's kind of, you know, like what you were talking about there, believing for someone that didn't confess Christ, but passed away. You know, I won't say someone in your family. Excuse me. And it's, you know, I think it's based upon, you know, like when God says household salvation, where does that household end? You know, number one. Number two, a lot of things that God gives us and has given mankind is based upon, what am I thinking? The faith that you will accept the Lord. I guess I'm thinking of in the old covenant relationship with God, The people of God received answers to prayer. They walked in a relationship with God based upon a future sacrifice of the Lamb of God, Son of God. Their relationship was based upon something that was in the future. Wasn't based on, that particular thing or that time frame where they were in that day, So what was the, shall we say, the ironclad guarantee was simply God's word and God's promise. It hadn't actually happened. I was thinking of, well, I'll just let that go. We didn't want to elaborate on that, but partly this question that Michael raised up was, it probably is my fault because I know that I had a situation that I was praying for a girl to be healed, and I was praying on the basis of command that the Lord has been showing me, taking, exercising that authority that He has already given us, and to command that that healing. And again, I think I mentioned in the group here that that is a position or I guess a mode of operation that I am not really familiar with. I mean, I could say I definitely entered into a learning phase. And so I prayed not once, but twice, specifically commanding the healing of that girl. And so this girl passed away. And that morning, when I heard that she had passed away, I immediately went into prayer, and this was the thought that came to me at that time, and that was, I'm not accepting that. That goes contrary to what I just prayed, what I just commanded, and so I don't accept that. And quite frankly, I'm not sure I accept it now, if I have to be, honest. And that's what I why I sent a note to Michael, because I didn't know whether, I guess maybe it was a thing of doubt. I didn't know whether there's another, something I'm believing or another tradition or what, whatever it might be that would zero nullify that prayer. Or I don't know if I just gave up. I don't know if I don't know if I maybe this was a situation that I gave up too early. I shouldn't have accepted it. I shouldn't allow it to happen. I shouldn't accept it, period. And so these are the things that were going through my mind. And so, let's just say when Curry, the story that Michael's talking about, he didn't take no for an answer.
I don't know what happened, but we lost you.
Are you here? Can I hear you?
Can y'all hear me? Can you
I
hear
can hear
Pat?
both of you.
Can
Somebody say
everybody hear
something.
me?
I hear everything.
Amen.
Well, I see you, but somebody talk to me.
We're
Let me
talking to
see
you
if it's
right now,
my
Michael.
deal here.
Hello,
Can you
Michael.
hear? Hello, Michael.
No, I can't hear you either. Something happened.
Hello, Michael. Come in, Michael.
We're more, Michael.
Says I'm still connected.
Your phones?
You are connected.
Time out. Let me get some more ears on.
Well, anyway,
Okay, somebody talk.
how about how's that? How's that? Am I talking now? Can you hear me?
No, I can't.
How do you answer it then?
I can hear you on this. I can hear it on this speaker. That's okay. Praise the Lord.
Amen. So that I just, to say it short, that's where the, I guess the battle was at in me. I felt like, I guess the thing was, is the first thing I thought of, well, did I need to be there to lay hands on her? I mean, that obviously I can't believe that that is the reason, simply because we are in a day of the internet age, and we're going to need to be able to pray long distance, I guess you might say, so I can't believe that that is a reason. And I will have to say that it's always my mode of operation type thing is that when something doesn't work right, I immediately go inward and I start looking. All right, what's the problem here? What am I not prayed up? Am I, or whatever? Then I start the introspective thing. So I don't know if that is what's happening. All I know is that I personally need to find out why. I need the Lord to enlighten me. If I blew it by giving up or whatever, then I need to know so I can change that, because I don't want someone to come to me with a need of a person that's dying, and I can't meet that need in whatever sense that is, whether it's releasing the Lord in me, whether it's operating in faith, whatever it is, we're dealing and potentially deal with life and death issues. And so I don't think there can be gray areas in I can't function with gray areas in my mind or in my heart or in my faith. I have to know that if God said, if you pray, if you command and this for this to be done, it will be done in the name of Jesus, then I will do it type thing. That's cut and dry, easy. Do this, this get is the result. So when that doesn't happen, I have to know, I have to know why. I want to make the course correction, whatever that means, whether it's in me, in my thinking, or in my faith, or whatever it means, I need to see, I need to understand what it is. So,
Can I say something here, Pat?
yeah.
I think when we get something like that serious, that we should make it mandatory that whoever asks for prayer understands that we're going to be in faith the whole time. And we ask that you be in faith. Whether the child or adult or whatever, if it dies, that we go from praying to commanding it back to life. We from raising the dead. We go from healing to raising the dead. I mean, it's just going to be an automatic thing. And when they understand that, then they'll understand that when it's dead, it ain't over. It's not over. That's what has gotten what has come to me when you said that, when you asked me that question, that we do. We go from healing to bringing it back to life. That's our ministry. That's our ministry. But everybody has to be on board that's there with it, this person. Because the first thing they're going to do is rush and put it in the morgue. Put the body in the morgue.
Well, but if you think about it, Michael, and I agree with what you're saying, and but when he allowed Lazarus to die, nobody on that hill when he came up, nobody on that hill believed had any concept that Lazarus was going to be raised. They put him in the tomb. They buried him and put him in the tomb. Nobody there on the face of the planet except Jesus knew that wasn't the end. Lazarus was coming up. And he wasn't taking no for an answer. I feel the need to enter into that place of faith where the recipient, the object of my faith, has no bearing. No bearing upon my results. And I'm thinking immediately of Abraham in prayer for Lot, living in Sodom. Now you can guarantee that Lot wasn't in a place of faith. He grieved his soul, with the things that he saw and the things that he allowed and everything else. But his position or place or a faith or little faith or a prayer or whatever had nothing to do with him being rescued out of there. It was Abraham's faith. And it was between God and Abraham, and that's where the bargain, or I shouldn't say bargain, that's where the agreement and the tussle, that's where the faith was at between Abraham and God. And Lot and his family had nothing to do with it. And that's where I want to be, resting in that type of faith. And
Now you're
so
there. Now
go
you're
ahead.
there. You're right. You're getting right there. Because if you won't accept it, you're standing in your faith and enduring to the end. That's what you're doing. You're confessing the good confession, whereas we're looking for excuses. People are looking for excuses. There's no excuse. Just stand in faith. You got it right. I was wrong about that. We should be standing in faith. I'll tell you something else. When we go to praying for somebody else, we need to imagine in our minds seeing these people get up. Imagine in our minds when we pray for somebody. That we imagine in our mind, we just sit there and think, okay, when we pray, that person's going to get up and be healed. You watch what happens. From that point on, we're going to start getting some miracles on this outreach because people's faith are going to kick in, just like Pat was talking about. That was an awesome job, a teaching that we shouldn't give up.
I didn't know I was teaching, I was learning.
You were teaching as well, and that's good. Giving us examples. Praise God. Yeah, absolutely. I gave up because I figured that they'd already taken the child and, done what they got to do. But as you said, we could keep on praying for that child, and that child could come alive. I believe that. Did you have any more, Pat? I'm through.
No, I didn't. I just leave it to, I guess I was bringing it up because I just wanted, what does everybody else think is the thought, I mean, I know that we stand as individuals, but we also stand as a group.
It's
We're
more.
of like spirit. We all have the same spirit. So I guess I'm just throwing it out there
Yeah, well, we're more
for
powerful
thoughts.
with each other when we're all together. More powerful. Okay, Teresa.
Well, when I prayed for Nini, she collapsed in my arms, and and so I was praying for the healing, and then she collapsed to where she looked dead. So I started rebuking the death, and I started commanding that she be, that she be raised up and healed in Jesus' name. Well, what I started hearing was, let her go. It's time for her to go. So in other words, the Heavenly Father and Jesus were taking her spirit to themselves and, bringing her home. But I feel it was God's voice that was talking to me. I may be wrong, but God wanted her to go. I think he was rescuing her. She'd been sick for quite a while.
Could be.
So, when I started hearing that, then I said, okay, God, I commit her spirit to your hand.
Don't give up. That's what Pat was saying. Don't give up. And I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. That's what we've been saying.
I wouldn't have given it up, except I heard, let her go. So.
Well, if you heard that and the Lord told you to get her go, command her back.
God, give her back. I've been telling God that. God, I want
I remember,
her back. Give her bond.
I forget what preacher it was, but his son died, and the son was already grown up, and he died, and the preacher just kept on. And the Lord told the son, he said, you're going to have to go back because he ain't giving up. He's still after you. He said, yeah, okay. He said, I'm going to send you back. So back he came, a few days later. So, Pat, I commend you for that, brother, because I stand corrected in that. We need to hang on to those prayers that we pray and believe them. Because somebody said that somebody's died shouldn't be a deterrent to us. That's when we go into the raise the dead mode of our discipleship. Amen. Go ahead, Andrew.
You know, I'm just going to throw out a question here. You know, there was a person who asked David Eales once to define grace. And he sort of hesitated for a second, and then he said, well, it's all you can be in Christ. And, there's 2 Timothy 2:1 that does say that, to be strengthened in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. So, what would we call faith? What's a good definition for faith? Something that would build us up for that, you know? What would be that definition? What is faith? We know it to be believing, but what are we believing? You know, sometimes, you know, you get, I think they call it brain fog or something. Don't believe that. Put it from a perspective of who God is. And from the perspective of what he promised you. Now, sometimes, you know, he says a faith of a mustard seed. But then we just read about the little faith one. So what's going on here? He didn't say they didn't have faith. They had little faith. So, yeah. So what is he really saying in that little faith? You know, I was just throwing that out there. Like, if we could have this just downright good definition so that we don't go astray in our faith. We don't go astray in our faith. Because you're born again. You can't be born again. So I'm just thinking about this out loud, you know. So, the truth is, the truth is the truth. And we have the truth, on the truth will set you free. And whom the Lord set free is free, free indeed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is liberty. So it's not that statue in New York Harbor, because that's the letters freedom. We have a spirit freedom. We have a new spirit life. That's what I think faith is. We have a new spirit life that has a name to it. And the name is with the Father, with the Son, and with the Holy Ghost. So that's what I'm going to call faith. And we share in that name because it says so. You know, rejoice that your names are written in heavens. Right? are sometimes we being attacked? You know, I'm not saying we're to let something go when we shouldn't have. You know, maybe that's what this Kelly Blake went through. He didn't want to let go. You know, at the same time, I'm just trying to be careful that we shouldn't let go, because we don't want to, you know, because that's not what it says. And okay, in 1 Timothy 6:12, okay, you fight the good fight of the faith. And he's telling you to lay hold on something that you already have. Lay hold of eternal life, whereunto you were called. You know, like, it's almost like he's trying to shake you. Come on, get there, you know? So what do you, I don't know if that is where your mindset's at. I'm just trying to define what faith is, you know? Faith that worketh love. Faith that works the obedience. You know, if you go to a lettery person and you try to say peace, the word peace, how is he going to define it? From the dictionary? Well, he's going to be wrong. Because our peace is according to the spirit, not for the letter. The letter guy doesn't know what peace is. He's stuck in the letter. The letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. And we know that peace is, that we have peace in him. In the world, we have tribulation. So I'm not accusing anyone here of anything. I'm just making comments and statements here. I'm trying to encourage myself as I'm trying to encourage yous. You guys too. So yeah, so my tongue is being caught from saying something stupid right now. That's gonna come off the faith, you know, but no, you don't have that, you know. Just the same way we don't have a different gospel. The people who have a different gospel, they went lettery on us, you know, and love, you, oh, like Michael said once, oh, I love you. They don't know what love is. They got letter love. We got spirit love. Spirit love. They have letter faith, maybe, and we have spirit faith. Because We've got life. We've got the love. We walk in love. We walk in the love because we're walking in Jesus Christ, because that's what it says in Colossians. I think it's Colossians 2 and 6. I don't know. Read it all. Don't read the part that spoils you, though. It's just before that. So, okay. So we're walking in Jesus Christ. Now, shouldn't we have faith in that? I mean, didn't Jesus have the Holy Spirit in him? I mean, did the pastor have to drown you because you're not believing? You have the name with the name, the three entities there, you know, that you were baptized into? Did you not come out of the waters in newness of life? Now, I'm not trying to rebuke you or anything here, but this is the truth. You went through a baptism and a circumcision of the heart at the same time in that Colossians chapter 2. So what's going on here with us? I can tell you what's going on. It's written in James chapter 1. And it's some sort of crazy temptation that we're trying to overcome. And we gotta put him in his place. Draw your sword and get him by faith. Because we have authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions. Get that crazy imagination out of your head and have the imagination that's in the spirit, not in the letter. Maybe that's it. I don't know. Like, there's a lot of stuff you can meditate on here. And I'm just scaring myself, too. It's kind of like a Holy Ghost spooky, you know? he's going to make you holy because he promised holiness to you. He that calleth you is holy, so be ye therefore holy. And you're going to be holy because he promised it to you. It's right in the same chapter there with Peter. And you don't want the other kind of, you don't want to be the goofball in the last chapter there in Revelation 22. You know, he that is holy, let him be made holy still. He that is righteous, let him be made, let him be righteous still. You don't want to be filthy and made filthy still. And you know, that collates with the verse over there in the parable of the weeds, the way Jesus explained it. You know, something gets bound up there, you know, 18 and 18 of Matthew gets bound up, you know, because what you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Thou shalt be on earth as it is in heaven. Do enough binding and you got it all bound up. And you gotta bind the good works upon your hands and in your forehead too. You're given that. So anyway, I don't know if it's a tiredness from us, or maybe we're thinking too much about what's going on in the world. Now, are we supposed to be doing that? because it's just give it all to God. He'll take care of it. He knows what he's doing. He's working everything out of us that's supposed to be out of us, and he's putting everything in us that's supposed to be in us. Praise and glory to God. Now, that's a person meditating aloud, okay? And I hope some of you meditate aloud sometime. Do it in front of the mirror. That really works. Because then you can change the looking to the thinking.
Go ahead, Debbie.
Okay. I had a question about like Isaiah 57:1 that says, I was kind of linking this with what Teresa shared and maybe something else did, I'm not sure, but Isaiah 57:1 that said the righteous perishes and no one considers that he was taken from the evils to come. So this is in the Old Testament. So I'm just trying to figure out if we're not supposed to believe that. We're supposed to believe the whole counsel of God. Or are we supposed to just only stand in the New Testament and what Jesus did? You know, he wants everyone to be healed. Sometimes I think, well, maybe he doesn't because he's saving them from the evils to come, you know? So I don't want to be not having faith or telling everyone not to have faith to believe for healing, because I do that with people and with Victory and stuff, and she's getting her healing too. But we're talking about something more than healing. We're talking about raising, you know, coming to life again, or just not dying. Yeah. And so I just wondered about that verse, you know, what, it's one another verse to consider that God still has his will. We know his will is that Jesus heals us, but it all could be his will that maybe he doesn't. His will is not to heal, to save them from evils to come, or to use it in someone else's, to draw other people to him, to consider where that person went. I know there was a godly man. I know he went with the Lord. Gee, where am I going to go when I die? You know, just one about things like people thinking things like that. So I was just considering that verse, Isaiah 57:1, and just wonder what people think about that, how that, you know, it's kind of late now, but.
Yeah, why don't we pick that up? Everybody just make a note of that, take a look at it, and then we'll talk about it Thursday night. Not enough time tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I could give you a quick answer, but I'm not going to. I'll wait.
That's until 10 minutes.
Thursday is praise and worship.
Good, Pat.
Yeah, Thursday's prayer and worship.
Yeah. Y'all just remember that. 57:1. Isaiah 57:1.
Yes.
Barbara says that she was given that scripture when her mother died. Was it her mother? All right, go ahead, Pat.
I was I was just thinking of all the well, I was reading in Matthew chapter 10, said he called unto him his 12 disciples, and he gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast out and to heal all manner of disease and all manner of sickness. And then in verse 7, he says, and as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give. So I just wanted to make a comment that Jesus gave these disciples, which technically were not born again. They were following him, but there's some things that were happening there, that because Jesus hadn't been crucified yet, and et cetera, and whatever. But he it and if we remember right, these were the 12 that forsook Jesus in a time of weakness, and Peter, denied him three times, et cetera. So there's, putting it in perspective, who these people were. That I mean, they weren't perfect. They were the disciples. They weren't perfect. They were probably battling with doubts and things, and just like every one of us. But yet Jesus gave them authority, and they cast out that authority to, excuse me, cast out demons, cleanse lepers, raise the dead, heal the sick. So I'm trying to, I'm shuffling this around in my mind. Right now, I mean, I know that I believed. You go to Mark 16:16, and he that believeth, he's telling the disciples now, after he came back, telling them, prior to going into Jerusalem and waiting for the gift of the Holy Spirit, but he's given them the commandment. He said, go out and preach the gospel, etc. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that disbelieveth shall be condemned. These signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name they'll cast out demons, they'll speak with new tongues, they'll take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So there's a definite finite result for those that believe. Everybody in this room I know believed in God, believed in Jesus, and received. We're believers. We were all, I'm assuming, we were all baptized, So in my thinking, we all fit that package, and it's to me, it's got to be cut and dry. It can't be complicated. And so anyway, I'm sorting through this as well as everybody else is, but the end result of this sorting, I know the Lord is going to bring us into this place of standing in His word. If we're not doing it now, we're going to be in that place of standing in His word, in His faith, in the truth, and know that when we pray, it is done based upon God's word. It is done. And so I'm just, I guess I'm encouraging myself and encouraging everybody else to anchor down on that. That's what we have to have. That's what I have to have. I've got to be confident that when I pray, when I command, when I say it in the name of Jesus, that it is done. So that's where I'm at now. So, Father, I thank you that you're working these things out in us. Lord, I know that there is no condemnation for them in Christ, that you have brought us and you have placed us into this perfect place in Christ, and that there is no condemnation, that you know exactly where each and every one of us is, and you're bringing us through into that place, and taking us through the individual wildernesses in our life, and you're knocking down the traditions and whatever unbelief is there and wrong thinking. You're dealing with that, and we just trust you, Lord. As we've spoken before about Psalm 35, I commit my way unto you and trust you that you are bringing it to pass and bringing it to pass in all of us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I think it's more of a trust in the Lord and the promises. If you can trust the Lord and his promises, you got faith. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. That's the big thing right there, in my opinion. That he's going to follow through. And if he don't follow through, you stand before him. So, well, wait a minute, Lord, this is not what you said. We don't accept this. In the name of Jesus, rise up. You shall live and not die, is what we should be going into at that point. But yeah, we're getting there. We're getting there. This is good discussion. Yeah, Andrew, you got 30 seconds.
Consider this, I'm just making a statement, Todd, but if you go to the previous chapter, the Matthew was just called there. So he didn't have a whole lot of time. When Jesus said it, it came to happen. Okay. That's all I wanted to state there.
Okay. Well, yeah, we have to believe what we say is going to come to pass because it's the Word of God.
Matthew just came in and he's going to be one of the two sent out. And back in 9 and 9, he called Matthew. I mean, yeah, he knows about God because he's a Jewish person, but he was a tax collector, wasn't he? I'm not getting Pharisaical on him, I better not.
Okay, well, Lord, we just thank you for an interesting evening. We thank you, Father, for bringing out all of these variables that will come up in the days ahead. Lord, I think it all bears down to one thing, and that's trusting you. Trust in your promises and your word. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Well, good night, saints. God bless you.